Welcome to Bad Playstyle. Hey. I'm the largest host. I'm Matt.
I'm Owen.
I'm still Conkybong.
Yeah, you are. All right. Okay, so this not working. Whatever.
We still haven't worked out the time frame on that, have we?
Nope. We never figured it out.
Okay.
So welcome to our book club style podcast here at Very Very Spaceship.
Yeah.
Aaron, say hi.
Hi.
Okay.
Hey.
That's we call him Podcast Daddy. So if you hear that nomenclature, that's what we're referring to. So this week on the book club style podcast,
that's us.
That's called Bad Play Style. That's us. We played a game. What game did we play?
We played a game called Void Bastards.
It's okay. Behind us right
yeah.
now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we're in it.
We're in the cool room.
So we played Void Bastards. That was my pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Why did we do that?
Why did we do that?
Yeah. Why would you do that
why
to
would
us?
You do that to us?
We because I have a crush on Kara Ellison? No, that's not why. It's no, because I heard good things about the game. We were talking to Aaron you know, he was saying it's a good game and it's been on my radar ever since I saw it on like a Steam, you know, one of them you click through and it shows a bunch of games to you that it thinks you do the Steam queue. It showed me on my Steam queue and it was like a rogue light that's in space. And Bastards is in the name, and I was like, it's about prisoners. I'm all about it.
They put swears in the name.
Oh, mm-hmm. They swears?
Yeah. It's very edgy.
Also, we do that.
Yeah.
And we're going to spoil this game. There's really not that much to spoil.
There's not that much to spoil.
I mean, like, you could spoil its charm.
There's some gameplay stuff to spoil, but not really, like, storyline stuff to spoil.
Yo, we got a sneaky dude in this footage. He's sneaking around.
Well, you're supposed to sneak around in this game.
Apparently that's where I went wrong early on.
I also did it very wrong.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Nobody told me it was a sneaking mission.
There's a couple of things we need to do. Hey, Owen.
Yeah, what's up, my dude?
I heard that you refunded a game on Steam recently.
Oh, yeah. I bought Watch Dogs 2 and played it for 56 minutes. And I was very charmed by the character customization and by like almost nothing else.
Okay.
So I refunded it and I have $13 in my Steam wallet and I'm probably going to spend it in a really stupid way.
I did that like a year and a half ago when that game came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we look up my time, it's probably close to the same.
Did you refund it?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's in there.
Yeah. I have like very poor impulse control though, so I'm probably going to spend it on like PUBG cosmetics or
hell
something.
Yeah.
There was like a jacket you were looking at, right?
Yeah. The Zest jacket and the Zest scarf are items I've had my eye on for a long time.
That sounds like pizza toppings.
It's like really tacky disco clothes. It's pretty great.
Yeah. The Zest jacket's a red kerchief you wrap around your neck.
The Zest jacket is not.
I'm sorry. The
kerchief.
Zest scarf.
I don't.
My words. Yeah, we're good.
It's like a brown calfskin jacket, but the lapels are huge, and they have these like rainbow stripes coming up the lapels. It's very tacky.
That's okay.
Awesome.
And then there's like a red kerchief you can get too. But I might get something else. Who knows?
Okay.
Well, that concludes the part of the podcast where we air stupid things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the reason we brought that up. This is a bad thing I did.
Yeah. I didn't have any shame because I didn't have any money.
Bought something stupid on the Steam sale.
Yeah, if you're broke,
you can't shame yourself. Yeah, it's kind of impressive.
So, hey, what games have we been playing lately?
I've been playing more Dead by Daylight. That's been great.
Tell us about that.
It's 4v1 killer. Like, what do you want?
I don't know. Like, what have you been doing?
I've been playing more Chainsaw Guys, and I like them a lot.
Leatherface
and
Billy.
Hillbilly.
Yeah.
And those are two completely different play styles, because Leatherface, you get right up next to them and then start your chainsaw, and Hillbilly's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Hillbilly, you're like, I'm going to charge across the map with a chainsaw out and maybe crush someone on the other end. So those are very different moods, but you're still chainsawing people.
Sure.
And then the other thing that got its hooks into me, besides the game we played, is I played a lot of that stupid team fight tactics mode in League.
The auto chess that
they
have there?
The auto chess that they made.
All right, well, stupid is a strong word.
I don't like RNG.
Defend yourself.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's
defend
like,
yourself.
Like, I like being able to apply my skill set instead of just, I guess I got the good stuff this time.
I mean, I've been playing a lot of Dota Underlords, so yeah. I haven't been playing the League flavor of it, but
it's addictive as hell.
Yeah,
it really is. It's a hell of a
drug. Does Underlords have positioning elements?
Yeah, it's okay. The same.
All right.
It's cool. It doesn't have the same buying phase where you're like, you have to actually go out and grab item.
That's like the bullshit part in League.
Yeah, right.
Apparently there's like tech with that where you can like block people from getting anything if you're good enough at
the mechanics.
And then
the game just gives you random bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That part sucks.
Yeah.
I would rather have full control over like what my economy and what I'm buying. And
am I going to install Dota just so I don't have to do that?
How many of these fucking auto chests are there going right
now? Two.
There are
way more than two.
Three.
Three?
Yeah. Four?
Well, because there's a Valve one, right? Then there's the actual auto chess people who broke off and made their own game, right?
Correct, yeah. There's a mobile version of that.
Then there's the League of Legends one. There's more, right? There's got to be.
I think there's another one coming.
This is like the new Gold Rush.
Yeah.
Like Battle Royale out. Yeah. Auto chess.
I mean, it beat Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Like everyone from Hearthstone that was a pro player jumped off to go play some flavor of auto chess.
Okay.
So what you're telling me is that Blizzard will do it 2 years from now and then fire everyone a year after?
Yes, absolutely.
Are you telling me the winter sale is going to be, like, it was card games last year and it's going to be auto chess games this year?
We're not that saturated yet.
Okay.
And also they're all free to play.
Okay, but still.
So I guess it'd be like packs of fucking coins or something. I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah. Slay the auto chess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hello. Okay, interesting.
Did you see? Oh, dumb things I love.
What is Slay that? What is
Slay the Spire is a card game that looks sort of similarly. Someone made a full mod for Slay the Spire that's Sailor Moon as fuck, and it's amazing.
Okay.
It's worth looking into.
Sounds all right.
It's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
My wife is listening. She's probably very interested.
Yeah, it's rad.
I mean, I personally am a big fan of Sailor Jupiter.
I haven't played that, but it's a thing. Right. What else have we played? Because we have way off topic here.
No, but so you're done talking about things?
Yeah, it's RNG, and you sometimes get it and you sometimes don't.
Sure.
And me being the person I am, sometimes I have issues with that. But I don't stop.
So any longtime listener of the podcast, which is now...
there's like five of you.
Broadcast?
Yeah.
We're television stars now.
Yeah, I really don't like the... I'm used to like watching myself. Mm-hmm. But watching myself live is—I don't want to be doing it.
Having the having the feed there with the video game looping, I have a bad problem when I'm in bars with televisions in my field of view. Yeah. So I find myself on my own podcast becoming distracted watching a gameplay loop of a game I've already finished.
Yeah,
and I feel very stupid. I feel like I've maybe not participated in the conversation as much as I should have because I keep.
No, you're here. It's cool.
It's like off a couple seconds too, so it really reminds me of that like Japanese riot control device that plays the sound back at them like a quarter second after they say it, so they can't finish any sentences.
Oh, weird.
Mm. Yeah, you can download their apps for that on your phone.
Sometimes
yeah,
my really. Phone does that to me at work, and I hate it.
Speech jammers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's like really hard to speak if you're hearing yourself speak a couple, milliseconds after. What was I saying? Oh, I was talking about games I played. Right. So,
what did you play?
I play Warframe a lot. People who listen to the podcast for a long time will know that. Everyone in this room will know this. I don't know if Aaron knows this. Okay, he's shaking his head. Yes. Yeah, right. So, I play. Well, yeah, you're my Steam friend, so of course you see the fucking notification a lot. But, TennoCon just happened, which is the like convention that's just for Warframe, which still super weird to me that like this single game has a convention.
Quake has one.
I know, like, Quake has one, but, like I get it, but I just, like, I've never watched those streams. I've never been into it, so I don't know the ins and outs of it, but it's, like, seems weird to have a multiple-day convention for a single video game. Whatever.
I mean, Eve has one, too.
Yeah. But it's... You're not refuting my point that it's weird. You're just saying that this happens
These
a
are
lot,
all weird
right?
games that we've named.
I'm not saying it's weird because it's uncommon. I'm saying it's fucking weird that you're having a convention for a video game because that's not a thing that I imagined being possible. But because that happened, there are a bunch of like hype announcements that happened. So a bunch of my friends have been playing Warframe, so I've been playing that. But yeah, I'm done talking about that now.
Can we talk about Warframe's login for a second?
Yeah, I mean, you can.
It IP locks out your account when you fuck your password up too much for like 24 hours at a time.
Yeah.
So I spent like a week and a half not being able to get into the game because I'd reset it and the server wouldn't catch my reset in time before I locked it, and it was bad.
Good God.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds really dumb.
I'm logged in now. It's good. But it took me like literally 7-8 days to get it right.
But last night we did a thing. and this morning we did the thing.
Yeah.
Which was Payday 2 VR.
Well, I didn't play it in VR.
No, but I mean, like, you were there.
Yeah.
So, before we move into us talking about how fun it is, I want, because I haven't experienced this. What does it look like from the outside? What does my character look like?
It doesn't animate. For those just joining us, Payday 2 is a team co-op shooter. It's Left 4 Dead, but bank robbers. So when I see,
you did it.
So in the game, when you see the other players, they mostly animate the way they normally do, and it's like just their from their elbow to their hands, mm-hmm. and their head like a little bit.
Okay,
but I'm not gonna lie, playing Payday 2, I really wasn't watching you that much because mm-hmm. there's lots of heads you have to shoot.
Right.
But there was
a specific moment where I walked up to you and I was like, "Watch this."
Yeah, and you were like doing this.
Okay. So my guy was like locked in the normal pose and his arms were just moving.
Yeah,
funny.
It was mostly their normal animations, it seemed like. But
I feel like that's where you cut corners. Not going too ham on the animations.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a thing Payday's always done.
Yeah.
It's just cut out animations.
Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah.
I strapped Keenan into my machine gun turret person build. This morning.
You're a machine gun with a sword.
I threw him into Hoxton Breakout.
Okay.
He was on Mayhem, which is one difficulty.
No, it was Overkill.
It was Overkill? Yeah. All right, yeah.
Because they added a new difficulty, right? It's like
they added a bunch of new difficulties.
Normal, hard, very hard, Overkill, Death Wish.
There's Mayhem.
Mayhem.
Yeah, Mayhem, Death Wish.
Mayhemier.
And then, the whatever the last one is. Okay. I don't remember.
It's over Mayhem.
Anyway, we did that. It was fun. Keenan, do you want to talk about it at all?
Do
you want to talk about it at all?
It's been like a hot minute since I was in VR at all, so that was cool. Walking to the car on the way here was really...
He said he was
the
having
world
trouble,
was a conveyor
having
belt.
Trouble walking?
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, I really liked how weirdly well the Payday VR works. Like, mm-hmm. you're dropped into the game in a VR context, but then, like, I know all the visual language of that game.
Because mm-hmm. you've already played it.
Right. And so right. I'm just like, cool, I'm going to point at that guy and he's going to die. I'm going to point at that guy and he's going to die.
Like, we as a group have spent, like, hundreds of hours playing Payday 2.
Yeah.
Not Aaron, but everybody in the room.
I think, like, he's not allowed none of us are under 500 hours, right? Like,
what's that, Aaron?
One whole hour? Of Payday 2.
That's like... 2,000 hours in Aaron language because he's always busy.
Guys, did we find our fourth?
Shit, I wonder how much my Dota time is worth then because I have 500 hours.
I was literally about to say
it's,
that.
It's like 4,000 years.
Oh,
right?
Boy.
Yeah.
Like 200,000 hours.
I mean, like, I remember I messaged you one time, like, yo, why are you playing Adobe Photoshop? And you're like, I had to name Dota something else to feel better. And I was like, damn, okay. Yeah, it's rad. Yep. So, Payday, like, it was nice being in all these familiar environments, and then the only thing I had to do was, like, how do I control this, right? Like, and then we were talking about this in the car on the way over. My brain doesn't know how to look at a VR controller diagram and make my hands just do it.
Right. Well, you were talking about how, you know, the entire time you're in a VR, you're never looking at
the controller.
You
can't look at the controller.
Yeah. Right. Like, whereas with, like, a console... You see that controller diagram, and you immediately look at the controller because it's in your
hand. Definitely like the most tedious thing about owning a Vive. So like when you own a Vive or any VR headset, it is your responsibility in your friend group to have everyone come over and use it so everyone can try it or whatever. And so then you get to be the person who teaches everyone to use it and talks everyone through using the controllers when they can't see their hands, which is like the most annoying part. And it's like, especially since none of the Vive buttons, like there's triggers and that's distinct. And then there's a big touchpad that's also a button. And then there's just other buttons. And it's like, press the button that's above the touchpad, I think.
Squeeze it.
Yeah. No, the one on your other hand.
Squeeze it.
You know, like.
No, your other hand.
Yeah, your third hand. Squeeze it. but like the fact that that game translates like that quickly into that is cool. And then I didn't realize how much I'm so used to controller diagrams in my hands just know where things are. So that like took a minute. And then even then, I was like, Matt, how do I? And you'd be like, do this. And then I'd be like, cool. And like, you know, a lot of the inventory control in Payday is that you look down and then the way you pick stuff up is like radial menus.
There's
on
like
your
a
hips.
Waistband. Yeah.
Okay.
And so like.
I was just thinking about that because you basically, you have a use button. You have a, like I'm talking about like when you're just normally playing Payday. You have a use button. You have the button for your class ability.
Yeah.
and then you have like your weapons, like your guns and your you have two guns and a melee weapon
and your grenades.
Oh, and your grenades.
And then whatever your droppable is.
Yeah, well, that was my
So all of that's if you look straight down, all of that's radial menus that like hover around your character's hips.
Well, no, because there's class abilities in the perk decks now.
Oh, is there?
Which require buttons.
Oh.
You didn't play when these were in the game, but there's like a guy who drinks a flask, and there's a dude who throws a smoke grenade.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Whatever.
It's the Sicario and the stiff upper lip or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but yeah, there's stuff in that game we haven't experienced.
Yeah.
So. Kind of cool to be in like a VR comfort zone.
I think the game looks better in VR than it ever did.
Really?
Yeah. The perspective does it some favors. Yeah.
Okay. I found pretty cool. In my experience playing games that were adapted to VR later, like, look not so great. Like they're just,
the textures are allowed to be as big as they fucking want to be. You know? All
right, cool.
And movement.
Also, him playing Huxen Breakout, it got me an armor skin, so now my guy looks he's like directing planes.
Yeah,
he's wearing caution tape shit.
He's wearing high vis tack armor.
Yeah, I was about to say
it's fucking great.
It's great.
He's got the like yellow reflective strips and the orange.
That's real good. And then, so beyond that,
your video game cosmetics aren't dumb. We don't want them.
That's a fact.
Yeah. Some Void Bastards, but then recently I apparently know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy, I was a juror for Six, Seattle Indies Expo.
Oh, cool.
And I played 5 games and then some more games.
Can you talk about them?
Yeah, I'm about to. I'm trying to remember because it was all kind of a slurry.
No, but I mean, like,
are you not under NDA?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think I can talk about what I did, right?
Sure, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how Six works.
Whatever.
They got their own thing.
No, I played... So the most interesting one I saw was this game called A Sound Plan, where it's got sort of a Bomberman look to it. Like, imagine a Bomberman arena, but there's less stuff in it. And there are usually one or two zombies in the arena with your guys. And your guys can run, throw rocks, dig up rocks from the sand, and sound attracts the zombies.
No.
And so the idea is you're trying to use sound to attract the zombies to
the other
people so that the zombies eat them.
So you're like throwing rocks near them or whatever.
Yeah, or like throwing rocks at them.
Sure.
Right. And that was really fun. There was like a multiplayer Asteroids game, but there was 10 metric tons of information on every single screen we were trying to play on, so I had no idea what was happening at any given time. And there was multiple control schemes, and I didn't know that, and I selected the wrong one, and so I had a very bad experience playing that game.
That's unfortunate.
It was called, like, Stelluroids or Asteroids or something like that.
Yeah, because that sounds like they're just suffering in their testing environment.
Yeah, I had a bad experience with that one, but it seemed like a sound game.
Just missing some information.
Just missing some stuff. There was a game called Garden Story, which looked really cool. You're playing a bunch of like fruits and vegetables in like a Harvest Moon-esque environment.
Okay.
That game seemed fun. There was a VR game that I played where it's anime sword fighting, and you get to you have two swords, like one sword in each hand, and if you do this motion, like if you slash both of them forward. It's called Sword Reverie, the anime game was.
Okay.
If you slash both of them forward, you shoot out a Draven ult.
Okay.
Which is like
what meaning is Draven ult?
I was going to, it's these two spinning saw blades that like fly forward on the ground. What are you?
Do they come back?
Right now? Nothing. I'm trying to find a thing for a minute. Oh, okay. That I'm going to need in a minute. All right. I'm listening to what you're saying.
Okay. And then there was, you go like this. And it does like a big radial slash against everybody who's near you. And if you do like this, it like pops them up in the air. And I was like, more of that.
Yeah.
More of that.
Gesture specific.
Because you're supposed to, like, when you review the game, you're like, what is one thing you liked? What was one thing you hated? What was three things that you improved? And I was like, make the game faster so that I never have to stop doing those three moves. And then give me more moves, and then make this a character action game in VR.
More gesture control in VR.
Yeah, it was like, make this Devil May Cry in VR. Let's do that.
I was going to say, is it DMC?
I mean, it should be, right? Okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, the gameplay that I was playing was much slower. It was like much more like one enemy at a time sort of stuff, and I was like, give me a dash option.
Is this a finished game, or is this?
No, this is like an alpha.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was like, so what you need to do, like, your controls work great. This is fantastic. This feels fun. I need to be doing these things like 10 times a second.
I wonder what like the allowable speed threshold for most people in VR is.
Yeah, like, I don't know, but you could do like Brigador does, where you have a speed adjuster.
Yeah, I just feel like DMC levels of like speed combat might get real rough in VR.
That sounds fun to me. I don't know.
I think but I don't know what like the nausea count on that is. Yeah,
also like you can't develop a game for like a subset of already an incredibly small install base.
But I think you could, just like I was saying with the Brigador, you could add an option to select what speed the game is even fucking running at, right? I think that would be really fun. So I don't remember any of the other games I played, so
All right.
For it, man.
Well, I only played like two games this whole time.
Okay.
I played PUBG.
You played a lot,
which
of PUBG.
Wouldn't be remarkable, except they added an APC to the game.
Oh, nice.
They added an amphibious armored personnel carrier.
Yeah, we learned the hard way about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we
were like, this thing's invincible. It's not.
So yeah. So you get it by finding a flare gun. And
just like the armored trucks, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's replacing that. They replaced the armored UAS with this. And if you're inside the white circle and you fire it, you get a care package. And if you're outside the white circle and you fire it, you get this amphibious armored six-wheeled thing.
A BRDM.
Yeah, a BRDM. And it's actually like weirdly quiet. It's very bassy, but you can't hear it from very far away.
Yeah, it's very
so
quiet.
It's ironically, it's like the stealth vehicle. You can sneak up on people.
You can
with
literally
it.
Sneak up on people. It's kind of dumb.
And so Keenan and I were playing, and I popped this thing off, and I'm like, Keenan, we are not trying to win this game anymore. We are going to get in this tank, and we are just going to fuck with people and cruise around. And like Keenan ran around and got a bunch of gas cans so that like we just didn't have
to
get out.
Getting out.
Yeah. The first squad that we like really encountered, we showed them our whole ass, and
they knew things we didn't about this vehicle.
Yeah. Like it's not actually bulletproof in any meaningful way. It just has about four times the hit points of the Jeep.
And those guys both had barrels of heavy.
Oh yeah, and
we gave them
the perfect opportunity. Like we jumped over one of the dudes and then like looped around trying to run him over as he's like shooting at
you
us.
Gave
and
you can't a, you shoot gave out him of a it. Real goat say.
Yeah, yeah, and you can't shoot out of it, which is fucked up.
It's got like three doors.
What kind
on the
of APC
top of it.
Is that?
It's got three doors on the top of it that I should definitely be able to pop out and mow a dude down from, but they don't function.
Yeah, and so then we're driving away, and it's not fast. It's a it's a big lumbering thing.
Yeah.
So they friggin' lit it up.
They lit us on fire, and I freaked out and jumped out, and that just fucked the whole combat
You shouldn't
up.
Do that again. That was not a winning
strategy. There's so many times when we've been playing PUBG that, like, somebody loses their nerve and exits the vehicle, and it gets everyone killed.
It's not the play. You got to stay calm in PUBG.
Sean, if you're watching.
Sean, enemy of the
it's
show.
It's you.
So that was like super stupid and fun. Like we had a great time. It has a little hatch on the back that slides. Look, I can do hand gestures and people can see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now I don't have to apologize for it. it has this little hatch that pops open in the back, and there's a little propeller in there. It's very cute when you get in the water.
You're giving him so much power.
is there even anyone in chat though? So.
Yeah, there's people in chat.
Hey, if I flipped you off, say something.
So I played that, and then I played Mario Maker, because that came out 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Because it came out the day...
The Friday before the last time we recorded, and that's been super great. I think they didn't change it very much from the first game.
They didn't need to.
Like there's stuff they have to do to put it on Switch, but...
And I think they added the right amount of new things in, it sounds like.
Yeah, there's a lot of things from the first game that were really obvious that needed to be changed, and like almost none of them changed. So what are you gonna do?
I've heard good things about the new things, and also that there's a lot of empty space in the UI for more.
Yeah, there's definitely that. I've made almost exclusively Super Mario World levels, and it's led to me.
That's the best one.
Yeah, it is the best one. It's led to me doing like a lot of sort of introspection on the way Super Mario World is designed.
Mm-hmm.
That like. In Mario World, the first land you're in is Yoshi's Island.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Yoshi is probably the most forgiving power-up in the whole game. That, like, he gives you an extra hit. He gives you an extra means of hurting enemies. He gives you a higher jump if you need it. He, like, he It's the it's,
Donkey Punch Jump.
It's the yeah. It's the biggest.
He's like a big Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, I don't want to call it like a baby mode, but he's like the he's the most forgiving.
All the advantages. Power up.
He gives you like a mistake buffer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like. And his levels are all designed for him to just gobble up stacks of enemies and things like that. And then like going and so like I've been like when I've been designing a lot of levels specifically around a power up or a pair of power ups to interact with its environment, which is like what's led me to think about this. Like the second land in Mario World, the Donut Plains. The first enemy you encounter is a guy who gives you a cape. It's the first cape you can get in the game, mm-hmm. and you can use that cape to skip the entire level.
Right.
And that is like such an incredible feeling. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel like that anytime I put a cape in a level, you have to be able to use it to skip the level if you want to.
Right. There's like a language to that
yeah,
you've already.
Yeah. That, like, that's such a fun and cool thing.
I was trying to see the power up that he was getting in the.
Oh, got it.
So I made a bunch of levels. I was going to pull up one of their codes, but I couldn't find my code. I was going to read my code on stream. But you can watch a video on Very, Very Spaceships Mixer mm-hmm. stream, and you can see one of my levels' codes and one of my levels being played, or two. You guys played two of my levels, right?
Two of your levels.
Yeah.
Cool.
Go check that out. I've been playing a ton of Mario Maker, and like, I fucking love having it on a mobile Switch. Mm-hmm. Like, I take it to work and during my lunch break.
Didn't you play it like when you're dead in PUBG, too?
Yeah, I've been like, kind of. I've been like working on levels like a little bit, but it's kind of hard to like work on a level for only 5 minutes and like keep your train of thought of what you're trying to do.
Right. I remember like there's so many times where I boot up like a Paradox game,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm like, oh, I'll load my old save and like continue. And you boot up, and you're like, I don't remember.
Yeah,
any
if you
of the
didn't
thing.
Have a notepad like, or like an Excel spreadsheet, you're fucked.
There was like 8 things that I was doing. I don't remember any of them. I don't care about
any
of them. I don't have any feeling towards.
And that happens like if you skip a day.
Yeah,
like it's not.
Yeah,
but like it's been the perfect mobile game for me.
Yeah.
Like my hour lunch break is like the perfect amount of time for it. And one of my friends who plays it the most works for the Seattle School District, and it's summer right now, so he just has all the time in the world to make Mario.
Oh yes. Should we say his name or?
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. And so he'll be hitting me up in the middle of the day when I'm at work, and he's like, "Oh, and I put up a new level. You got to play my level." And it's like, "Dude, I can't. Yeah, I gotta wait till lunch. Like, it's a bad look for me to get this thing out while I'm on the clock."
Do you prefer the touch controls over the?
I did at first. I have one of those little rubber nibbed styluses, and I was using that for a while, but I got tired of taking it in and out of the dock to work on my levels.
Right.
So I. Honestly, I just got comfortable using the controller editor. Mm-hmm. Playing the so it has a story mode, which the first game didn't have, right? And in the story mode, if you die on a level 3 times, it'll give you an option to like fuck with the level a little bit to like make it easier for you. Because all the story mode levels exist really just to teach you different ways you can use construction elements in the game.
Yeah,
they're not actually very great levels if you're looking for a 2D Mario campaign. Mm-hmm. And the way you fuck with the level is a simpler version of the map editor interface. And so by playing through the entire story mode to unlock all the, because it has some things locked behind the story mode, doing all of that got me comfortable with it to the point where like a lot of the time when I work on my levels, I just do it from the controller.
Mm. It is interesting that like the story mode has levels that you would never ever play in like a normal Mario game. Where if you were playing a normal Mario game, everything would be engineered to be like a perfectly linear experience. And the story mode or like the tutorial levels that have always been in Mario Maker are just like just examples of things that you can do with
them. Well, and there's no variety in them either. Like a story mode level will typically be one power up or one type of object used in all 10 of its use cases sequentially. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm. right? Like it's a toolkit rather than a storytelling level.
Like this is the level where we teach you how you can get in a dry bones shell and float in magma, and you have to do a lot of like tight driving in the little dry bones boat,
right?
And that's it.
Yeah, I wonder if it's even like a tutorial for like you're gonna play levels online, and this is how fucked these levels are gonna be online.
Look at all this fucked up shit people are gonna throw at you.
There's a dude who So there's a bunch of like Kaizo movement techniques in Mario that like most people don't or can't do.
Right.
Where like Mario is holding a shell and he runs and jumps against a wall, throws the shell rebounds off the wall, and then he bounces off the shell and grabs the shell afterwards. Mm-hmm. And so you can do wall jumps in like Super Mario World where there aren't wall jumps.
This like crazy ass
technique. Yeah. And so it's like an assumed knowledge technique in like really hard Kaizo levels. And there's a dude who's making like a 101 series on how to play Kaizo where like the only thing in the level will be like, you need to figure out how to do this one shell jump.
Yeah.
And then like,
yo, he set up the fighting game lab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, or like, this is why you want to spin jump a lot when doing Kaizo levels, because Mario's normal jump, the height of it depends on your pressure, on the button pressure, but a spin jump, Mario always jumps the exact same height.
Right.
Oh, so there's more control to it.
Yeah. And so you can do it quickly and always get the same result. Yeah.
That's important.
It's like we were talking about XCOM.
Yeah.
It was like anything that makes my character more consistent, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Right.
So like I've never had any interest in Kaizo stuff until now. Like this actually sounds kind of cool.
Right. Like if someone like opens the door to let you into it.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Neat.
Anyway, Mario Maker 2, it's great. Play my levels.
Yes. Play his levels.
All right.
That's the games I played.
Yeah, sure.
To the game at hand.
Yeah, are we ready?
I think I'm ready.
Ready for this? Okay. What didn't you like about Void Bastards?
Yeah, Aaron.
Aaron, what didn't you like about Void Bastards?
I'll start off by saying I would give this game a 9 out of 10.
Okay.
No.
Just hear me out.
No, because this isn't how we do this.
I know it's not how you do it. Just hear me out. I have very few bad things to say about this game. I have one bad thing to say about this game.
Which is why we're starting with it.
Yes, I understand how it works. I didn't get the FTL feeling out of it. I didn't get the, like, I will play this from, you know, I'll start at 10 p.m. and stop playing it at 4 a.m. I didn't get that feeling from it.
You didn't get that, like, holy shit, where'd that time go?
Right. I always felt like, okay, well, I got done with like two or three runs, or like I died once or twice, and I just don't feel like, I'll come back to it later. That's fine. I'll come back to it later. That was really the only negative that I had about
it. What difficulty did you play at?
I don't know.
Okay, so normal.
I think, yeah.
Right.
I think it's discrete goals break that up.
Sure.
Whereas in FTL, like, there's one goal. Do it.
Well, so over time it became better because it was like, well, obviously you aren't as skilled, or you don't have as many items or whatever from the beginning, so you're dying more.
Mm-hmm.
And then that didn't make me feel like I wanted to continue as much as having more items did. So the play times became longer and longer over time, but starting out it was like, eh.
The tech tree gives you the momentum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I ran into that too. I didn't like the early part. I kept dying and feeling like, okay, well, now I don't have any ammo to even deal with the threats. Like, like I ran into those problems. Yeah,
that definitely happened to me once or twice where, like, an early run, I spent all my resources dealing with
the one level.
Something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I died and I was like, cool, this next run is like fucked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I have like no ammunition. And it was early enough in the game that I don't even have like a lot of other weapons to switch to.
Or even like before you get the like starter package fuel and food, right? Mm-hmm. Like those early characters before they start with 3 food and fuel just fucking die left and right. Mm-hmm. Like there's certain upgrades that if I'd known about them sooner, I would have prioritized them. I think that's where like the earlier levels with how simple the enemies are don't really prepare you for what the actual gameplay loop is.
Right. So it's funny that you guys mentioned that you guys had trouble being gripped by the game early on, mm-hmm. because I had the exact opposite problem. I dove into this game. It really grabbed me and would not let me go for days at a time. And then when I finally finished the game, when I finished FTL, I was immediately like, let's go try one of the other ships. You know, let's play the game again. Let's try something new, right? But with this game, I was like, I don't want to play this game anymore at all when I finished it.
I feel like, so with FTL, they give you like very large high-level goals.
Yeah.
And Void Bastards doesn't do that. It gives you little chunks that you need to get to, and it just keeps moving you forward. And every time in FTL, it's like, okay, you know you have to go from point A to point B, but that's it. You just have point A and point B. There's nothing really in between. And Void Bastards just like keeps stringing you along. And if it's like, well, if you don't even make it to that first little chunk, then it doesn't feel as rewarding to continue, especially if you haven't unlocked that much. So it feels like you're just starting over from zero, but you take a bigger hit starting over from zero than you would in FTL, where you know, like, every time I'm going to start over from zero, unless I have a brand new ship.
Right. So I never, like, with the care packages and it giving me ammo, I never felt like, oh, fuck, right? When I died, I was always like, all right, let's get back into it from the position of I need to be more conservative with my ammo now because I don't have as much. Mm-hmm. I never had that sort of sinking feeling of wanting to stop playing because I lost all my ammo, except for, like, one time when I had a ton of nebulizer ammo and I lost all of it, and I was like, oh, I can't use this bazooka anymore. Yeah. Right, there was like one time where that happened, but it was like it gave me like a bunch of kitty bots, and I had just upgraded them to shoot cluster flax everywhere, so I was like, cool, let's do it.
Yeah.
I never had that feeling that you guys were talking about.
So I want to stress that this really only happened in like maybe like my first three people.
Yeah.
Where it's really where I didn't have anything else to lean back on afterwards.
Right. Once I'd gotten a couple of those early upgrades, which the game does a really good job of giving you the items you need for those early on so that you don't experience that situation for very long.
Yeah, it doesn't take long at all to get to like the next upgrade. I think it pushes you along pretty far.
Right,
And it doesn't take you long to get to that. It's just like, all right, you got to get through these first two, three deaths. And then
my problem is I wasn't approaching the game from like a progression standpoint for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't looking at like, what are my problems? What do I need to upgrade to deal with my problems? And then once I started, like, Matt, you walk up behind me at one point, like, you should buy that armor. That's really good.
Yeah, you should prioritize armor until it's asking you to go to a depth you can't handle.
Right, and so like... just that comment like shifted my mindset on the upgrades in a way where I was like, oh yeah, I like those. I should use those more.
It was like the second
I was just playing dumb. Like
the second it gave me the locator beacon in the parts section where it's like you can highlight a specific upgrade that you're trying to build and it'll tell you where the next part that you need is. Mm-hmm. I was immediately like, oh, okay, you want me to like target upgrades? I think it's like a strategy,
right?
It's like a macro strategy.
It gives you another goal on the way to the main goal.
Yeah, like you want to go get me. You want me to go get this colon cleanser, or this prophylactic, and build like a gun out of it.
Sure.
You
do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or this distended testicle.
I got one, and I yelled from the other room. I got a distended testicle.
I'm sure our neighbors appreciated that.
Yeah. Fuck them.
He's right near the front door, and there's no sound insulation on the front door. So if you're in the hallway and Keenan's playing video games, you can hear him.
Yeah, if I yell, coming you down me.
The, no, just talking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just your normal talking awesome. Voice. I can hear you in the whole hallway.
I'm gonna swear more.
Yeah.
Good man.
Which is ironic because you're in a soundproof booth. You just never close it.
Yeah.
So.
Yo, but like, fuck our neighbor kids. Like,
I don't think there's any kids in the hallway
those
anymore.
Kids
but
suck.
So it sounds like all of you liked the game a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I found myself like a really like middle temperature on this. Like,
I think it grew on me a lot. Like, I was
like,
definitely
like
not
I
into
gave
it.
like. Like, this is like a solid 7 out of 10 for me. Like, I enjoyed playing.
Look what
it.
You've done.
Like, I'll probably never touch it again.
I'm sorry. I learned the format.
That's the thing I was just saying is that I don't think I'll ever go back to this game.
Yeah. I thought as I was approaching the end of the game, you know, like, I remember thinking to myself, like, maybe I'll just, like, keep playing this and, like, not try and beat the game anymore. Just, like, you know, just, like, go on ships and shoot people and, like, whatever. And as soon as I beat that game, like, that thought just like evaporated in my head. I was like, nah.
I think it suffers from being so goal focused.
Yeah.
I think it also suffers from the environments and
the ships get a little monotonous.
It gets a little repetitive. The ships aren't very there's only like 6 or 7 types of ships.
And they're all laid out.
And they're
very
all laid out the exact no, they're laid out pretty much the same with some slight variations.
You can even get to the point where it's like, all right, I know gas is going to be in the FTL. I know, like, just by the name of the item, you know which room you're going to find it in.
Yeah, and because all the ship layouts seem to have at least some sort of a logic to, like, engines in the back, cockpit in the front, you know, like that kind of thing. Like, engines in the middle or you know, subsystems in the middle. Mm-hmm. Like, because almost all of the ships follow that logic. Like, that's just part of the in-universe thing. You put your helm at the front. So like I know that the helm is always going to be the opposite end of the fuel, and that the helm is where I'm going to reveal all the items. And so it like it's cool to that you can have that like little bit of mastery. You can learn about how to navigate a derelict ship, mm-hmm. but it also means that like a lot of the derelict ships I see are going to be very similar to the last derelict ship I saw.
I think this game has that core gameplay loop of getting on the ship, getting to the spot you're trying to get to, and getting the stuff and getting off, right? And
I definitely found myself like moving forward more when I found a thing and left.
It's very addictive, that core gameplay loop, at least to me. But the whole game is focused around making that core gameplay loop fun, and it eventually gets old. One thing I was saying to Keenan is that, you know, all the weapons in this game, bar the weird fiddly, like, non-weapon weapons, like the thing that teleports people into mm-hmm. itself or the thing that makes them your bud, are mm-hmm. all, like, Doom-era, you know, FPS standards.
Yeah, what I found myself thinking of is, like, Unreal Tournament or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it really reminded me of those. Like, the fact that you have, like, a poison dart gun and a cluster bomb launcher.
Well, I wasn't finished with my thought.
Yeah, hold sorry, on
one
ahead.
Second. The reason that works for me, though, because normally that wouldn't work for me, just having those bong standard weapons. The reason it works is because you have to earn having that weapon and using it, and you have to choose to use it, and you're, like, set with it. It's not like, oh crap, I forgot to get out the bazooka and use it on the big boss. It's like, no, there are screws on this ship, I'm bringing a nebulizer, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. let's do it.
To me it was like, yeah, it just fits thematically, like, right. You can tell just by the art, the way that everything's laid out, it's like, yeah, that's exactly the kind of guns that you're going to find here. I mean, it might have been neat to find something that was a little bit more I don't know, more interesting than your standard weapons, but it's still, to me, it was like, yeah, this seems on theme.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely the bill we were sold, right?
Yeah, totally.
This game is very Doom and Chex Quest.
Right.
In its everything.
Every individual aspect is simple, but there's a lot of things layered on top of itself. Mm-hmm. A lot of very simple systems, like in a big pancake stack. You know,
mm-hmm. Well, and like Matt, you literally made like two comments on what I was doing, and it taught me like way more about the game, right? You were like, oh yeah, you can locate shit. Also, this item's good for that thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, it's all rock, paper, scissors, right?
Like, don't use a pistol on patients.
Yeah, don't do that. Mm-hmm. It's not good for you.
It's not going to work.
Yeah. So like once I'd like figured out oh, these are the rules to the game, like it went fine. But it was definitely, I didn't catch those. I wasn't looking at the game on that level, so I felt kind of dumb early on. Like, oh, I don't really get any. And then, like, suddenly, like, it all snapped into view, and I pushed through pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
That said, like, I miss good rocket launchers in video games, right? Like, there's certain things about the way certain things feel in this game that are great. I think all the tier 1 weapons kind of suck on purpose.
Yeah. There's also definitely like an experience that I missed having in games. Like, I remember doing this a lot in like the original Deus Ex, of the unlock a door, open it,
yeah,
throw grenades in, yeah, and like close the door again, the door, yeah, and lock, yeah, it.
Cluster flax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a run where like I found like a zillion cluster flax and hadn't gotten in the habit of using them at all yet. And so I piled up like more than 100 of them or 200 or something like that.
Holy
and
shit.
Then I ran out of pistol ammunition. And so it's just like, okay,
we're using these now.
Next ship I go on is just, I'm blowing up fucking everybody. Like,
there was a mission I was on where it was like, there's like a couple screws on this ship, you know, just like be mm-hmm. careful. It's cool. And I get there and the power's off. And there's a screw literally like,
oh, man,
just
the
outside
in this
the airlock.
The worst. It's worse than Spelunky's dark levels. Yeah. Like it's the fucking worst.
Well, it's not even actually dark.
You're talking about the ones that are like dark, not the ones where the power's off, or are you talking about the ones where the power's off?
Oh, yeah.
Cuz those are two separate
things.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. I'm conflating those things, yeah, right?
The darkness in this, you can use it to your advantage though. I
sure.
really really like the sound design in this game, how the enemies are constantly barking.
Yeah.
And giving away their position.
Well, and the
especially,
onomatopoeia too.
Especially the onomatopoeias through the doors. Like, it'll be like, the enemy is through this door because you can see comic book words happening on the door.
I also love that half the enemy's onomatopoeia, nothing. like the visual word nothing comes up for spooks and stuff.
Oh, funny.
Like you hear nothing on the other side of the door, and you're like, what the fuck?
Are we talking about positives now? Have we moved on to that?
Yeah, I think okay, we're in.
That's it's that's the
positives.
Flow, man.
All right, I don't. I look. I'm along for the ride. Okay.
You know, if you'd listen to the podcast. no, it's so it's sort of yeah. That's the natural flow of the conversation. We
Got
we
it.
Start with the bad things, and that inevitably leads to us talking to good things. So
unless
it's continuing,
yeah. Unless yeah, unless it's
bad we should stop giving that game publicity.
Well, no, it's more of a warning, really.
Yeah.
Because we have a new audience. Shout out in chat if you're never ever gonna play B-Cop.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Do yourself a favor.
Make a shout out in chat right now.
So, Aaron.
Yeah.
What did you like about Void Bastards?
Man, I feel like maybe I wasn't paying attention. I don't know. I feel like Void Bastards came out of nowhere. Like it just
yeah, it didn't really have that much of a like preamble as far as hype goes.
I saw the art like a month before it came out.
Okay,
that's it.
I had no idea that like Humble was publishing it. I knew nothing about what was happening with this game, and then all of a sudden it was like, "Hey, Kara Ellison, and also here's all this dope art and really good music and audio." Yeah. And everything is just so incredibly
the music's
polished.
Very good.
Yeah,
I talked to somebody at a PAX or something, some person who was like, oh yeah, we're doing like this 2D art style because it's really easy to make assets quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, go for it. Make the weapons 3D and everything else 2D. It's awesome.
Well, the weapons aren't 3D.
They're opposite.
What's that?
The weapons are 2D and everything else is 3D.
Except for the enemies,
Well, except for the enemies. It's just the environments that are 3D.
Okay.
Yeah,
because like, yeah, the pistol is just like a little flat.
Yeah, everything is just flat planes.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny too when you use cluster flax, because if you throw one, that's
it
3D.
Becomes 3D, yeah.
Oh, right,
and you
yeah.
will be holding a cluster flax that is a cardboard cutout yeah, of a
right,
cluster flax,
right.
And you can
it,
see
like, them
next.
It gives it this like pop. When
yeah,
you throw, when you throw it, it
it's the same
pops
thing. It's the same
3D.
Thing with the cats, because
yeah,
that's another weapon you drop on the ground.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and even the pickups are 2D.
Yeah.
Right. So like it does this weird like visual pops open thing when
yeah,
you do that.
I love all the pickups in this game, by the way. Like, floppy cubes,
mm-hmm,
brilliant. Foons, brilliant.
I love the progression, right? Like, finger, hand, head.
Also, did you notice that all the batteries are shaped like the letter that they are?
Yeah.
So, like, B batteries are shaped like an uppercase B.
I hadn't noticed that, but I did notice that the A batteries didn't look like any fucking A battery I'd ever
yeah,
seen in my life.
Yeah, they look like a letter A.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. The whole thing, the whole setting for it feels like what the seedy underbelly of the prison system in like the Fifth Element must be like, or
oh yeah,
something.
Yeah.
Well, and I love the bureaucracy for the prison system is called the cunt. they're the CNT, they're the cunts.
It's an extremely British game.
Oh yeah,
it's a very
well,
very
it's
British
game. Scottish
street
game.
Is extremely
oh, Scottish game.
Game.
Pardon me. Yeah. Even more fitting.
Yeah.
Oh god, the Ion Brew. Do you guys you guys know what Urn Brew is?
Yeah.
It's this drink they drink in Scotland, and no one I ever talked to could ever adequately describe to me what it's supposed to be. It comes in a can, and everyone in Scotland drinks it, but
oh, this is my favorite room on the green screen. This is my favorite room in the whole game.
It's so
but
weird.
They have Ion Brew, because it's spelled IRN for the real drink.
Well, it's Ion Brow.
Yeah. Is that what it was? Okay,
yeah.
B-R-A-U. Like,
So the accents in this game would have been completely foreign to me 2 months ago.
Yeah.
But my personal trainer is Irish as hell.
Good one, Barbara.
And he's like high-pitched Irish, so like the kids.
Oh, sure.
Perfect.
The
right, like there's enough of that, those same sounds going on in this game where I'm like, sure. Oh, I totally get these dudes now.
Oh.
And it's super wild.
Can I tell you about my favorite ship of all time?
Absolutely.
So it was one of the pleasure ships, the ones with the purple walls.
Yeah.
And it said,
Lux
it said one of the enemy types on this ship will be friendly.
Oh.
And there was only one enemy type, and it was janitors. And so I'm running around this trash-filled ship getting high off the garbage fumes.
Yeah.
Picking up food, which I desperately needed at that point. Yeah. And all the janitors are going, sup, Gary? Hey, Gary. What's up, Gary? Hey, is that you, Gary? Gary, I'm sprinting everywhere.
I love that they have different dialogue for allies and enemies.
Right, right. Well, they call everyone the janitors call everyone Gary.
Yeah,
And the scribes call you Barbara derisively because mm-hmm. they're sexist pigs.
Mm-hmm.
I'd all the enemies are very charming in this game. Surprise, butt face!
Oh god, the kids are the best.
Oh god, what's the name of the supervisor? The one with the shield?
The Zek.
Yeah, because it's an executive. That's yeah. right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one where this art style, I feel like it failed me at all.
Oh yeah.
Because you need to attack them from a back facing.
Oh well, yeah, it's not apparent.
Yeah, and there's the amount
the 2D,
of
2D. Yeah.
yeah, the 2D thing made.
Do you know how that clicked for me?
How's that?
Because when you get the item that's the bouncer.
Uh huh.
You use the same shield.
Okay.
And I realized that it was the same effect, and I was like, oh, theirs is probably only from the front, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I just threw cluster flax at them.
That works, too.
Because, like, I didn't want to deal with that.
Suck splash.
I used
a ton of them at the end of the game. And
I used rifters, and then I used ally makers.
Okay. That make them your brain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Zeks are really good against other Zeks.
Sure.
No.
Well, or they just, like, play Pong. Right.
No, because it's not theirs isn't a bouncing shield.
Oh, okay.
It's an absorbing shield.
Okay.
So they just absorb the explosion, and then when one of them misses, somebody takes damage. Zeks don't actually have that much health, which is nice.
No, I fucking rocket.
They're not like screw level of health.
No, I put those bitches in orbit with the rocket launcher. Like, yeah. I was fucking done. I was like, tired of your shit. Like,
and I really liked how innocuous and hilarious, and then / dangerous tourists were. Like they're really like they feel really controllable, but then you make one mistake and they eat this huge chunk of your health,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, I feel like I always ran into them in the big cubicle farms.
Mm-hmm. Oh god, yeah.
Where it's really easy to break line of sight with.
Yeah,
them.
They can catch you around a corner really easy.
Like got to talk to management about moving those turrets. Like, put them on the ceiling at least.
I wish I had more opportunities to use the trash chutes.
What do they do?
Are you
talking about the big dumpster things?
Yeah, the things that shoot people out into space. Yeah. If there's an enemy inside of it, you press the button and they go flying.
Oh, yeah, those tiles don't appear that much in the game.
Yeah, they don't.
Especially after depth like one.
It'd be really nice to trap a screw in there. And
or even just like more environmental stuff, because there's also the desiccating rooms.
Those are really good. There was a map where I had one of the things that spawns enemies,
mm-hmm.
and it was spawning Juves, and I was getting them to run through the desiccator. And getting tons of bio from it.
Mm. He's really farming nice. Them.
Yeah. Or maybe it wasn't bio. It was some, they were dropping like the 50 blocks of whatever material they get turned into, and it was really useful.
All right. Favorite mutations.
Yeah. Let's talk about mutations.
There's character mutations in the game that like change the core gameplay of your character, basically.
I really liked long arms because interacting with things far away was really nice. I feel like the distance with which you have to interact with things causes me to hit A and right click a lot more than I need to. I'm very inaccurate.
There's a lot of like click, 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 click.
And then I really, really liked how they managed to make being tall a negative in this game.
Being short's a negative.
There's a trait called towering where your character's FOV is put up like an entire half a character's length.
The opposite exists.
Yeah, and it's awful.
I never went super deep on mutations. Like, I finished the game all the way through, and like I know I used those mutation stations, but like none of it stuck with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like I just forgot about them.
Yeah,
like eventually I just kind of forgot they existed because they didn't feel like they made that much of an impact on the game, unless I went to mutation station and I specifically picked something that I wanted.
Right.
Otherwise, I would just leave it alone.
Yeah. Keenan found one that was really game changing for him.
So I got a dude who started with picks up items in like your vicinity. Like basically you just vacuum anything up within like 3 feet of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped having to care about junk because I just walk by it and suck it up.
Yeah.
That was really great. And then I ran into a mutation station in like that dude's second ship where I got enemy radar on the minimap.
Ooh, that's
fucking
nice.
Game over.
Yeah, so
at that point,
it was like, you know, Owen and I, we talked about this, that like we finished about 3/4 of the game on one character.
Yeah.
Ironically, mine was named Owen.
Hey, there we go.
So
it's a good.
So yeah, I get.
He's still alive, by the way.
Oh.
I finished out the tech tree with him.
I get enemy radar, and enemy radar, unlike some of the other perks, some of the other mutations are like you can see security junk. Enemy radar, the one that I got, is everything.
Is everything.
So it's cameras, it's all the bad guys, like when you download from the terminal.
Okay.
And turrets. So you can literally know what's in a room before you ever go in it. And like, this is where suddenly my brain opened up and I went, explosives are awesome in this game. And I just start chucking grenades around corners at stuff.
I love that they give you so many grenades on a pickup that you can be really frivolous with.
Especially
that.
Since they're kind of hard to throw when you get started. Like, you don't know how they're going to bounce and stuff.
Well, you had that problem.
I did. And then I got good with it. Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. Boy Bastard sure is cool.
I'm really glad it has a DLC coming out.
Oh, like, does it?
Yeah. They're already talking about adding a DLC, and it's like, this game needs more. Like, it makes me really excited or worried about what would be in that DLC, because, like, this game needs more pieces in the stew. Like,
oh, hey, that's Steven.
In that.
And then Unarmed Swing 39. I don't know who that is, but the Steve Endrick.
Yeah.
That's see what you're saying.
It needs more pieces in that proc gen. Like,
yeah, there needs more different types of Legos in the bucket.
Yeah, like I want more of those like environmental hazards, like the desiccator and the trash chute. Mm-hmm. It needs more ship types.
This game was missing exploding barrels pretty hard.
Yeah, but also like points to them for the courage to not put exploding barrels in a first person shooter. Plus, come on.
All the tourists are exploding barrels.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
They're exploding barrels that have better dialogue.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. Ma'am.
I really like mixed populations with tourists because it made it like pretty simple.
Tourists and Spooks is hilarious.
Yeah, it's a good pop set. It's real dumb.
There's also a game kind of like Ape Out where I want to play more games that are in this art style that are like not this type of game at all.
Yeah.
You know, like the same, like Ape Out is also like another very stylish game where it's like I'm not that into that game's gameplay, but just like I would just love to have like a detective game in that art style, or I'd love to have I don't know anything.
I was totally sold on the comic book style. Like, yeah. I usually think that's a little bit tropey. Like it's I don't know. Not a super interesting way particularly to tell a story for me, but that somehow worked super well, and they weren't very long. Like it was like one page, right. And then you just move on to the next.
Oh, you're
thing.
Talking about like the cutscenes.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the game's visual style matches its overall feel.
Oh yeah, the consistency in the game is incredible.
Yeah. Especially since the cutscenes are always driving home that theme of this is not a friendly universe.
Right.
Fuck you.
Or did you ever play Freedom Force back in the day, the superhero game?
Oh yeah.
So that game has big onomatopoeia sounds like appear in the game world, mm-hmm. but the art style of that game doesn't quite line up with those letters. Mm-hmm. So it never looked quite natural.
It pops out weird
the way it does in this, where like when you go up to a door and you hear like hovering in the next room.
Well, but
or
it's
whatever.
A simple text, right? It's not this big gross like.
Yeah. Like, well, it was like that in Freedom Force. Like you would punch a dude and a pow would come out of your fist. Yeah.
Thud. Split.
It doesn't feel like clip art in the same way.
Yeah.
Right.
Like clip art's a good word for it.
It feels like it's split. Just like this is text that exists in the environment. Split.
Split. Split.
I love this backpack thing.
Pretty gruesome.
Yeah. Like.
I don't like that it shits out all the things you picked up because they're unregistered slag.
Like, this game nails so much of its aesthetic and then, like, really pays it off at the end, I think.
You were saying, Owen, like, oh, I really like what this game is doing, but I don't want to play it in this game.
Yeah.
Right? You were saying like that. So, Warframe is about to have Sea of Thieves in it.
Okay.
And I was never interested in playing Sea of Thieves.
What? What?
Yeah.
Why?
It's about to have Sea of Thieves.
Why? That doesn't make any sense.
It is, okay? It's called Empyrean. You can check it out if you want to.
All right.
But
you
it's
have a ship and you do
it's about to have Sea of Thieves in it, and I'm very excited to play Sea of Thieves, but I was never excited to play Sea of Thieves. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I wanted to play Sea of Thieves, but I wanted to get three other people to do it at the same time.
Yeah.
And that was always kind of a tall order.
Did you ever see the Kotaku article where it was like, I have this problem in Sea of Thieves where I want to do PvP, but no one will do PvP with me because everyone is interested in just gathering treasure and like no one wants to fight and risk their treasure.
Sure.
But I found a foolproof way to force everyone to fight me.
What's that?
Hello there, Mr. Pirate. Ooh, woo. And she was saying that like when she does this on the like megaphone that she has, without fail, the other ship will turn towards her and attempt
so
to
bad.
Kill her because she did this.
Excellent.
And the whole time you're like, why are you firing those cannons at me, Mr. Pirate? Oh, woo. and they're just like, it just makes them matter.
That's so good.
They just want to kill her really bad. And it's like, that really reminded me of the article I saw way back when, where they played The Boys Are Back in Town like 15 times
yeah.
in a row on a jukebox and like described that experience.
It's the John Mulaney What's New Pussycat.
Yeah, bit. Which, I mean, that's where he got that bit, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. The music in this game was very good.
Yeah, it's like, I love the... I never think about it when I'm playing, except when I'm exiting and entering a level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's got that like thundering bass like coming in. And it's just like,
but the sound design is really well, really good at communicating to you what is going on.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, very much like this is combat now.
Between the onomatopoeias and the sound design, I knew exactly the relationship between the rocket I had just fired and the enemy that exploded. And like, regardless of what smoke was happening on screen, I knew that guy was dead or not, or like if I needed to keep firing or not. Things were very well communicated to me by the music and the sound design. Hey, did anyone else notice that you could hit the use button multiple times on exiting to the Steve to make the sound file play as many times as you wanted to?
You told me and I needed to do it.
It was so good. Because you could, it goes like, when you first do it, right? It like plays this like sort of bass tone. Right? But if you do it, it's your own sort of like, you know, Diplo.
What?
Mia Jaleza.
Okay.
I liked it because I could tell the game how urgently I wanted out.
Yeah.
Like if I'm chill and nothing's chasing me, I'm like, meh. Cool, we're out. If there's like seven spooks chasing me, I'm like, go.
It depends if you walked or sprinted to the exit.
Yeah, it was very much like, how is my mood exiting the ship?
Yeah.
Alright. Is my excitement fucking up your level?
No. You're good.
Okay, cool. It's
fine.
Writing in the game.
Like as far as like all the dialogue of like all the monsters and the space pirates and whatever, that's all great, and like the little cutscenes are great. Like the actual broad strokes of what the story of this game is, it's like whatever.
Corporations suck.
I read it and I skip everything. So I guess that says something about it for me at least.
It's like you go get the four MacGuffins to finish this tier of objectives.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. You do it again. It doesn't work. You do it again. It doesn't work. You do it the last time.
Hilarious, goofy Douglas Adams. And then
you die. You do the last one and it works. But also you still lose.
Yeah. You're still a prisoner. Fuck you.
You end up worse than you were before. Your sentence has been increased for helping out the prison ship.
Mm-hmm.
You did this, but also you damaged all this property. Fuck you.
Yeah. And also, saw that one coming like a million miles away too. It was like, okay, when this wraps up, I'm not gonna like go out to a sunny pasture afterwards.
I got there in that point in the ending. I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
The fact that the robot voice of the spaceship was voiced by the Stanley Parable narrator really helped set the tone for me. It was like,
told me where we go.
This is going to be an unfriendly, unreliable narrator who punishes me for doing what it's asking me to do.
But he also tells you you're a very good boy. Like super anytime chipper. You get an objective item.
Yep. It's like, due to staff turnover, we had to outsource to clients. And I love it. Yeah, they're not prisoners; they're clients.
Yeah, like this is somehow a service that I've solicited of being in prison
to be a pile of pink pixie dust.
Yeah.
I like the part where he decides to make you feel better when you finally do the thing. He's like, I knew you were a perfect sack of garbage but when I picked you. Like, oh, thanks, man.
That's great. Yeah, I saw an interview with Kara Ellison, who did writing for this, where she like basically said that she wrote all these like Scottish swears into the game. And there were some of them that the voice actors that they hired for the game couldn't quite pronounce or land right. And so that's why she voices like a handful of characters in the game. Like she voices all the pirates because like the voice actors they had couldn't say the weirdly specific Scottish swears.
Oh, is that why? I mean, I found it very charming that she's like not a professional voice actor.
Yeah.
And so the pirates are just sort of like angry, but also sort of emotionally flat a little bit. They're like, cunts in the garbage.
Yeah, they sort of sound just like people who've been like working together for too long.
Yeah.
It lends them a very specific character in a way.
Which is like sort of in line with the whole theme of this.
The space pirates,
The space pirates, but also just like in the theme of the whole game.
Everything's like tired.
Yeah. And everyone is like a servant, right? Yeah,
everything's exhausted.
Like everyone's employees and clients and and janitors and shit like that.
The machine's too big for everyone and they all hate it.
Yeah. Like,
and everyone's just trying to get drunk.
Yeah. Or get high.
Yeah.
So do the drugs do anything other than make all the colors wrong?
They fuck your aim up real bad.
They fuck your aim up? Okay. Yeah.
No, you're spread.
They fuck your aim up real bad. Don't use a rocket launcher when you're high on garbage.
Do use a shotgun when you're high on garbage.
Okay. I guess I just never noticed like the guns I was using. It's probably because I was using thrown weapons or something.
Yeah.
But it was just like, all right, it's making all the...
They still throw kind
of
wacky, though.
It's making all the loot pickups instead of glowing green, like glow, like rainbow.
Every color.
But also, like, who cares? Because they're also the only glowing thing.
So, like, I had my shotgun out, and I run through a pile of garbage, and the shotgun reticle's, like, here, and then it fills the whole screen.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
I'm like, okay.
I did that with a handgun, and it was not good. Yeah.
Okay, I finished that game using primarily just cluster flax and the explosive robot cat things.
Explosives are super good in this game.
Because there were a bunch of Zeks at the end, and like I just didn't have time. Like, I had plenty of time. I did not have the time to deal with Zeks.
And so the Robo Kitty is really good at dealing with
Zeks.
They really want to shoot robot it. Kitty. Also, the second tier Robot Kitty that shoots fucking cluster flax.
Well, yeah. So that's what I had. Yeah. It's just like, I'm just going to throw it at him.
Here, have a Robo Kitty. Here, have an additional thing. And then when the Robo Kitty dies, you'll have another one.
Yeah, it'll probably kill you. And even if it doesn't, it'll occupy you so long that I can just go on to the next room and do whatever.
Oh, yeah. There were so many times where I'd throw like a cluster flax in a room, lock the door, and go the other way.
Yeah.
Like, nope, I'm out. And then you'd come around a corner and you're like, oh, you're that guy that I blew up halfway. Got it. Do it again.
Yeah. Okay.
Time for the bad stand.
No, do we know anything about the people who made this video game?
Nothing. Not a fucking thing. Literally, for me, it just came out of nowhere.
Oh, so Owen and I found out a thing last night that The Outer Wilds was created by a hero from, or the studio that took it from a thesis project to a full game. Is Mobius, and they're the guy who runs that studio is Hiro from Heroes,
the show.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah,
that's
Nissan Versa.
Didn't they have a Fig campaign for this game?
But he bought them from Fig.
Oh, okay.
So like it was like a graduate thesis on narrative and video games. But then he like saw it at a USC like video game show and bought out their Fig campaign for 220% of everybody's investment.
Barbecue steak tips in the chat is correct on all fronts.
Extremely true.
Yep.
I agree with those statements.
I am a fucker.
Also, hey, did you guys see that that guy Steve Vendrick is higher level than Good News in the chat?
Oh man,
did you guys see that?
He must participate in a lot of mixers.
Wow, what a power user!
All right, I'm getting on right now to participate. God.
We're the worst friends. All right, yeah. So
this is good TV right here.
Now it is time for the bad standards, which we should probably explain.
Yeah, we should explain at least a little bit.
We're only going to explain ourselves so much, guys.
Sometimes
we're going to grade this game. We're going to rate this game on a scale of 1 to 5 on how much we think it's adjacent to various different games.
Man, Blue Manchu doesn't even have a website. What the fuck? Sorry, they made this game.
Anyway,
we've been talking about.
It's fucked up. You should write them.
I should be like, "Where's your website, nerds?"
I mean, we have a website. What is it?
Make your website.
Shame.club or shame.business.
Yeah. So
those are a good one.
Those are the good ones. So yeah, the bad standards. I am going to say at the beginning of this 10-episode series, we're on episode 47 or 48 or 46, one of those. I don't
somewhere
remember.
Mid 40s.
When we finish a 10-episode series, we create a new bad standards, and it is a collaborative process that
we take more fucked up ways to judge video games
because we don't want to be like, do we recommend this game or not, or do we give this game a 1 out of 10 or whatever.
The rest of our conversation.
We want to just compare it to things from the past. And the bad standards get warped very badly.
Oh, yeah.
Is another thing.
They're
like
about a lot of feelings.
It's generally about feelings, and then it's generally about one specific feeling. Like, I'll be like, oh, what do you guys think about it in relation to this one video game? And one of these two chuckleheads will be like, oh, I liked the music in this game, and I liked the music in this game, too. So it's a 5 out of 5 for me,
hey,
buddy.
Hey.
And I'm like, that's not comprehensive.
Last show, we got you on our side on taking it one way, and it was great.
I still hate it, but, you know, I hate a lot of things. So... Bad Standards, hey, and we're gonna do it just like we did it last time because we have Podcast Daddy and he's technically on this podcast.
Yeah,
because he played the game, he agreed to play the game. He didn't do his homework though. He didn't he didn't do his homework.
Didn't listen to the episode
okay, so, about Inside, so where we hate Inside.
We played the video game. We played Inside, and we did, I hated it. Did you hate it?
I hate that game.
Did you hate it?
I don't know how to feel about it.
And it's a bad video game. It's a bad video game for tiny babies.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to know why, like, go listen to our episode on Inside and why it's horrible.
At shame.club.
Yeah. And then, you know, Aaron was supposed to do that, and then we can have a conversation about it, but he didn't. So we're done putting him on blast. Time for the bad standings.
Thanks for producing. We're going to throw you under the bus.
Yeah, I did say that Inside is terrible.
We did.
All three of us said that.
We're awful people.
If you want to have a conversation about it, you can email us at
badplaystyle@gmail.com.
Or we're on Twitter at @badplaystyle.
You can hit us up on any of
our
social
medias.
Wrestling.
I'm already terrible. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, that works too.
That's fine. You can take it out on me. I'll probably see. This is Izzy. I'll probably see him tomorrow.
Okay. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Okay. So, hey, Aaron.
Yes.
How many Payday 2s out of 5 does this game get?
I think this is my favorite thing about having Aaron.
This is the best part about having Aaron on the podcast.
Game.
Oh, boy.
How many Payday 2s out of 5?
We already discussed he's only played an hour of Payday 2.
So. Yeah. So of my hour of Payday 2, it gets like 2 hours of Payday 2.
Okay.
Out of 5.
Izzy said 4.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Hey, right. Justify that, Izzy, and then we'll talk about it. Owen, how many do you think? I'm going to go with the 3, I think. But what do you think?
I want to give it like a 4.
You want to give it
like
a 4?
Like, it is extremely on its own bullshit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's got music that fucking
it's
slaps.
It's got those vibes.
You know,
right?
it's got guns. It's got attitude.
There's a lot of shitty swearing.
Yeah. It's also, I forgot to mention this. So my favorite play style in Payday 2 is semi-stealth, where you take like a big assault rifle, but you make sure its concealment's low enough that like they don't notice, and you do all the stealth objectives so fast that they just can't call the cops, but you do them loud as fuck, right? Like, this is my favorite playstyle, and raiding a ship in this feels like if you do it quick with bombs, it feels like semi-stealth.
If you can hit hard and fast in this game, it's got a good...
Oh man, what if this game was 4-player co-op?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, hold on.
Why'd you do that to me?
Hey, email Blue Man too.
Yeah.
Why do I have to email?
Because you have a computer.
All right. Hold on.
Yeah, you're in the biz.
Do it now.
I got to level up on my Mixer chat. I got to do emails.
Yeah.
No,
you got homework?
And Izzy, it's not stealth. It's semi-stealth. You're bringing like... you're bringing like an AK-47. It just happens to have a silencer on the end of it. It still does over 40 damage.
And no stock in the smallest magazine you can find.
So I'm
going 4 Payday 2s.
You're going 4?
I'm with 4.
Okay. Hey.
I'm also liking Barbecue Steak Tips' fantastic progression, good sass, and original curses.
Let's all give congratulations, Barbecue Steak
Tips.
Consensus.
Americlaps.
I wouldn't have
the camera on you when you're...
Oh, sorry. Well, I was hoping I could get it close up to the mic.
I wouldn't be surprised if anyone yelled "Broke Dick Drill" in this game.
Yeah,
that wouldn't feel weird or out of place.
Broke Dick Drill, butt face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yelling at me about the rivet gun.
I mean, this game is like basically the equivalent of it's the
thermal drill, Barbara.
Yeah, the Scottish equivalent of that kind of cussing, right?
You need a medic bag there, boy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a screw there. We didn't talk about that. Yeah. Anyway, so moving on.
They're real grimy.
Yeah, the screws.
The screws are real grimy.
They're from the north.
I don't like it.
I've got too much tongue in my mouth.
Yeah. Yep. That's it.
And I can't say th.
Yeah.
Right? All right. So how many? Hey, Aaron. Next question. How many Spelunkies out of 5 does this game get?
I'll give it a 4.
A 4?
4.
I'll give it a 4 Spelunkies.
And why?
Progression's real good.
Mm-hmm. I just said that.
Well,
no, he's allowed to have his own opinion.
It's my own opinion. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to switch the camera back so people can see what you did to that microphone.
Jesus.
What happened?
I slapped it in court, dude.
Oh, no. Like, all right, we'll fix that later.
No, it's fine. It's fixed.
All right.
Look.
I get it. Yeah, you got it. the progression's really good. For me, the replayability was great. Like, I still feel like I would go back and I would play it again. Hold. I don't know if I would play it on the same level as Spelunky.
Pause.
Yes.
Did you notice that Steak Tips just leveled up in the chat?
And gave it a 6 out of 5, completely disobeying the rules of the bad standards. Yeah, that's the point, Steve. That's the point. It's the bad standards.
All right.
Okay, like, just ride it out.
Steven's level 6.
Why do you have a 4? Why? Now that we've continued to...
Yeah, okay, so continue.
Yes, a 4.
Yeah.
God, Jesus Christ, what did I say? Progression's good.
Yeah,
got it.
Music's good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like...
that sweet, sweet roguelike feeling?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for encapsulating my feelings. Right. But also, just the enemy design is interesting. Like, I feel like I approach situations based on the enemies that I see ahead of me.
You can't just ignore what's there and be like, I'm bringing a bazooka. You have to, like, think about it.
Yep.
Yeah. I was feeling a 3 on Spelunky before, but now I think I'm... The enemy thing pushed me over the edge. I think you're right.
There's a very, like, this tool for this problem thing.
Well, and they're all like, very diverse, too.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Cool.
I did still
always
never,
be carrying.
Still never really found a use for the Riveter, but yeah.
Whatever. Always be carrying. I suspect the Riveter, if you bothered to upgrade it, would get good, but I don't care.
Spelunky's not the best game. but we're giving it a 4.
All right.
Whoa,
man.
No, I was responding to Steven. He had a deleted message there.
Oh, I can't see from this side.
Yeah. He said, F you, Spelunky is the best, removed by Catbot.
I'm sorry. Catbot is very sensitive right now.
Meow!
okay, next we have Aaron.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready?
Yes.
How many Fallout New Vegases out of 5 does this game get? They get worse. Like,
oh, we haven't even brought up the optional award.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to use the same hour rating that I used for Payday because my New Vegas playthrough was still probably about an hour.
Can you put the camera back on me?
Yes. All right.
That's right. We're a pro New Vegas anti- inside podcast.
I'm about to be anti-Aaron. This is fucking blasphemy.
Okay, but
so like a 2. It's like 2 hours.
Two on New Vegas. Vegas.
Yeah. 2 on New Vegas. Yeah. Explain yourself.
You're just
like throwing out some fucking numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? How else do you respond to this when you haven't marinated?
Keenan, Owen.
I'm giving it a 1.
No. I'm not asking you to rate it. I'm turn your key. We are ejecting Aaron from the conversation.
Beep. No. What? Yeah. Nice. Nice. Okay.
You said 1?
I think 1.
Try that out. What's up?
I feel like 2.
Because we played it for podcasts, which you can watch on shame.club.
Yeah.
Or not watch. Listen. To. Yeah,
you can watch with your ears. It's fine.
Yeah.
So, this universe wants a depth, but it doesn't have it. Right? Like
I can see what you're going with.
Yeah, here. Like I feel like it needs more to interact or even like reach the weird things New Vegas wants to do for itself.
That's the problem with this level of not parody, but what's it?
Comparison?
No.
No? I don't know.
I don't remember what it's called. Anyway, what
comparity?
Ballery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I give it like a 1 or a 2. Like New Vegas is a big fucking storied open world RPG, and this is like confined environments that like don't really speak much of a world outside of the nebula and the pirates and the derelict ships within.
And
so.
Nothing I do matter.
I think 2 just for scavenging gameplay loops.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Two.
Two.
So,
two's fine.
So I feel like this is the point to ask Golden Toilet Skull.
That is not the point to ask this.
Okay.
Nope, no. You're jumping the gun by
my
good
bad.
Two awards.
That's fair.
All right, Aaron.
Yes.
How many TIE Fighters, MS-DOS TIE Fighters out of 5
Hell yeah.
does this so game receive?
I'm glad that I've been memory wiped of the rating system because every time, now each time they come back, it's a new fun
also,
surprise.
We're only going to do these games for like two more episodes.
Yeah, it's only like one
and then,
or two
and
more
then
episodes.
It's going to be 5 different games.
Which you're going to be involved in picking. So
okay, sweet.
Yeah.
Perfect.
There's a story, Steve, to why the chat doesn't allow you to express yourself with the speed you desire. We can go over that after the
there
awards.
Is, yeah, there's a story about that.
3
I'll say a 3 what did I on the last one that I was on, I think this was like the nostalgia category
kind of
me,
yeah
right?
don't
it's no, whatever no. it means to you
yeah, yeah.
Don't
this is what it means
yourself.
To me
yeah it's what it means to you, not what it meant to Owen 2 weeks ago.
so for that, well, you know, I'm gonna keep playing it and I'll probably get back to it and I'll play it more like I do Spelunky. Like I play Spelunky in little chunks and then I buy it on another console and then I play it in little chunks.
The old Todd Howard method.
Yeah, and then I'll probably do the same thing where I'll pick it up when it comes out on Switch, which it probably will.
Yeah.
And then we'll play it again.
Did you ever notice that Spelunky 2's release date, if you Google it, is listed as like 2 weeks ago?
Huh.
What?
It got pushed back, but okay. It doesn't have a specific date. Yeah. But the way Google aggregates crap.
Yeah.
Like, it just pulls the wrong release date and says...
Oh, does it do that, like, Google autofill at the top?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's September 12th, man.
Yeah, yeah. It was released, like, like June 26th or something of 2019. It's like...
Google out here trolling about Spelunky 2.
Yeah.
All right, so TIE Fighter.
Countdown until Kenan brings up the tattoo.
Yeah? That long? 10 seconds?
Yeah.
Okay. The tech tree is the tattoo.
Like. The tattoo mentioner has logged on.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys think? TIE Fighters out of 5.
TIE Fighters? I don't know. Like, you don't fucking control any of the ships you're in.
Well, that, I mean, but...
Like...
I gameplay-wise and feeling-wise, I'm at about a 0. I don't... Like,
yeah.
None of the feelings from TIE Fighter are replicated in any way, shape, or form, other than the sweaty-ass nonsense you can get into sometimes. Like, you can get real sweaty in TIE Fighter,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I don't think that's worth the whole
Not point, as sweaty so. As you can get an X-Wing, though.
No.
Yeah, I'd give it, like, a 0.
Yeah.
Zero?
I'm going to give it a 1 in that there's still an asshole telling me what to do.
Hey, barbecue steak tips, that is exactly why we use this rating system.
Yeah. Tattoo mentioner, new band name. Yep, okay. Cool.
Yeah. So moving on.
What's our last
one? Aaron, well, you...
I don't remember.
It was yours.
TIE Fighter? No. What?
Wait, no. TIE Fighter was yours. This one's purely a Matt and Owen invention.
Yeah. There's a lot.
Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
Are you prepared?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're mentally fortitude ready for this one?
I think so.
This is the worst one.
right.
So how many Alpha Centauris out of 5 does this
I forgot they
get
worse over time.
They get worse. They get worse. We start you out with Payday and you're like, boy, this is awful. Right? It just gets worse.
I mean, I'll give it a 3 because I guess there sure is some space in this one, huh?
And you sure are fucked as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Yeah. No, I think I feel like that's...
That's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have anything to add to that. A 3 sounds right.
Yeah.
It's an outer space. What more can
I
you say?
I feel like I'm going to say 2 because there aren't opposing viewpoints.
I did say, okay, so I have one more thing to share about Void Bastards before you move on to the best part of the show. And I was at work and the guy was like, oh, hey, what are you playing for a podcast these days? I was like, oh, I was playing this game called Void Bastards. He's like, oh, cool. And I like showed him some screenshots. He's like, oh, this looks like Borderlands. And I was like, please don't say that. Please don't say those words. You are demonstrating an incredible lack of any sort of critical analysis here. It's very
quit embarrassing yourself.
Yeah, but that kid was like 19, so whatever. Moving on.
I want to nominate this game for a golden toilet skull.
Oh man. Okay, so we have a supplemental award, Aaron, here, which is called the Golden Toilet Skull. Owen is a huge fan of the Golden Toilet Skull and advocated for its continued existence on the podcast. Much, I wanted to take it out back and shoot it in the head, but Owen,
it doesn't need to be brought up every episode. But every once in a while, you get a great game that does some really ham-fisted environmental storytelling, like this one,
which is why it's called the Golden Toilet Skull. You're starting to get this.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. So now I'm going to ask.
Angrily explaining.
If I can get one indie developer to proudly put on their booth that they're the recipient of a golden toilet skull, it will have all been worth it.
I mean, you can do that. You can print that out and you can walk around PAX and you can hand it to games that you think earned that award.
Just give like 10 of them to the Bethesda booth. Like, you guys suck.
You can learn what this award means at shame.club.
So Aaron, this begs the question. Does this game deserve a golden toilet skull, in your opinion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Shout out to Steve. He just hit level 7 saying that the new points never matter.
Yep. Someone racking up points right now says the points don't matter.
You need a physical toilet skull to give out.
I think this game definitely does deserve.
There's the set pieces, and you kind of see them over and over, but they're still very
evocative of the universe.
Very evocative and hammy.
I love how fucking huge the torpedo launchers are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or like the surgical theater with all the like spilled bags of popcorn in the ceiling.
Yeah.
You know what's great about the shooting the torpedoes is you don't do that. You lean out the window.
Right. And throw it. I also love that every time you pick up a torpedo, it's like a fucking 80s action movie ass nuclear warhead.
Yeah.
Bethesda does receive their golden toilet skull out of shame. And this game receives it with pride because that's what they were shooting
for. Yeah, that's a fact.
Right? The golden toilet skull was created in response to Bethesda.
It's Moira Brown presents the golden toilet skull. Right? Moira from Fallout 3, the classic video game that never happened. So
who totally survives. Dies. Okay. She absolutely dies.
She dies.
This is the memorial award,
right? Because she totally died in that game when we blew her up in Megadon. She wasn't there at the bottom because they didn't want to prevent the player from not receiving that content. Anyway.
It's not like
shame. Hey,
yourself.
Keenan.
Yeah.
What is our Twitter?
Our Twitter is @badplaystyle.
Hey, Owen, what is our email?
Badplaystyle@gmail.com.
Aaron, what is our website?
shame.club
or
the other one I can't remember.
shame.business.
Sometimes it's about membership and sometimes about dollar bills.
And if you have problems with any of the things we said, these are the avenues with which you can interact with us.
Also, you'll be able to find our podcast recordings on this stream from time to time.
On this stream or on your website or on YouTube.
Yeah. At the very, very spaceship account.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. And
got to learn to say that one more.
Now is I know everybody came for this, so we'll just get on to it. This is the best part of the entire show, which is Tom Clancy presents Sam Fisher presenting Who Versus Guybrush Threepwood Edition.
Fucking word salad stream of consciousness.
Okay, so
should we explain how this exists?
We're on film for the first time, so I will explain once. So originally I came up with this segment, or no, the ether came up with this segment because it appeared on the Doom Agenda.
Yeah.
And I don't remember writing
it's
it.
Very there. Mysterious.
And it was Sam Fisher versus.
Also, the Doom Agenda is not a public document. We don't have access to it, right?
You don't.
Right.
No, it's only me. Didn't write this there. I have very good memory. I did not write this there. So the Sam Fisher versus was whoever's game pick it was would essentially pitch whatever the scenario was that we were throwing Sam Fisher into whatever game we had, you know, reviewed that week.
Part of it to point out how flavorless Sam Fisher is.
Well, to lampoon Sam Fisher was part of the goal, but eventually we became bored with that, and so we decided to do different people.
Yeah. Well, because really what it boiled down to is the game like violence oriented or not? Yeah. Because if it is, Sam Fisher is a cold operator who shoots everyone. And if it's like a fucking story game about feelings,
he's completely unequipped.
He probably hits a wall and can't figure out
I feel like there were some good conversations that came out of that because we did all the Fallout games that you made us play during those. And it was like Sam Fisher in the post-apocalypse. This is a fun thing to think about. Yeah. Like, this is a good feeling in my brain case. But then eventually we just decided to do Guybrush Threepwood.
Yeah, make it a rotating seat.
And it's a rotating seat currently on this 10-episode series. It's Guybrush Threepwood. And I'm the only one who's played those games, or you've played them?
I played, yeah.
But Owen hasn't played the games, but also never he keeps trying them. To kill Curse Guybrush, and yeah. I keep telling him that's like thematically inappropriate
There's
to do.
There's a copy of Curse of Monkey Island on Sega CD in our house.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah. Great.
I'll put it in my Sega CD and play it.
Hell yeah.
It was technically my pick. Owen at one point tried to give me a cop-out and say, no, it's Aaron's pick. We'll just jam you in. And I was like, no, man, it's my pick. I'm picking Void Bastards. And so I think that Guybrush Threepwood is dehydrated, and
he's definitely a criminal.
Yeah, is 100% a criminal
under this regime,
under the cunt. Yeah,
well, he's definitely been like convicted
of some stuff.
Yeah, he did.
Like whether or not he did it, but like,
And I think he's being followed by space pirates, but they're not Scottish. They're
on fire,
LeChuck.
Yeah,
sure. Okay,
and I think he never leaves the Sargasso Nebula. He just keeps. He's just rolling around and keeps trying to like rhyme insults at like robots.
So I imagine the reason he got desiccated is because he was like being polite and holding the door open for someone at like a bank.
Yeah.
And it happened to be bank robbers.
So he's an accomplice.
And he got nabbed. Like they saw it on the camera.
Or he just like annoyed an executive and they were like, put him in the packet. Right. But anyway, it's a never ending journey of bureaucracy. Stomping him down.
The good news is all the weird shit you have to pick up to make things are totally in his wheelhouse.
Absolutely. He could turn these into a bomb if he needed
to.
Which is good because he's going to be expected to do that.
And as far as I understand it, that's the show.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Next time,
roll the outro.
But what are we playing next
time?
Oh, fuck yeah.
This is important for those who want to play along at home.
If you want to play along at home and be intellectually engaged with our next episode in two weeks' time.
A Haunted Island, the Frog Adventure game. The Frog Detective game by Grace Bruxner.
And you are highly encouraged to play that game sometime in the next 2 weeks so that when we do this, you can be engaged in the conversation.
I have on good authority it is both funny, cheap, and short.
So you guys want to say your socials one more time just for the exit? Just one last little...
I don't do that. These guys do.
At Bad Playstyle on Twitter, badplaystyle@gmail.com.
You can catch us at shame.club or shame.business.
Sweet. Thanks, everybody.
Later.
Now we're going to dance.
Are we going to...